This season is called the Advent season. Now, I didn't know what that meant, but what it means is we have an expectation of someone who is special, dignitary, or is to arrive. And so that's why they call it the Advent season. And it's, we are anticipating and celebrating the coming of Jesus. And what we give him is our loyalty, our worship. And we anticipate that the Son of God would come in human form. But not only that, that his Spirit also comes into us and we have him to worship and give him glory. We have the Spirit of Christ. Now, you can interpret that, say like, well, we have the Spirit of Christ, or we can actually say we have the Spirit of Jesus within us. And so today I wanted to pass out communion and to be able to take it together in memory of who he is, in memory of what he has done, in memory of him coming to earth. And he didn't have to, but he obeyed his Father. We got ourselves in trouble in the garden, and yet he comes to rescue us from our own selves. So, Father, I thank you for this bread that symbolizes your flesh, and we thank you that we can take communion as often as we do it, Father. It is in memory of you. We can take the bread. And Father, we take this juice in memory of the blood that you shed. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that was still part of your worship, part of the things that God is doing in your life. Today, I want to talk about the shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16. We've talked about, let's go back up a couple of verses with you where it actually starts talking about the armor of God. Go back to 15. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay. There you go. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We put on this armor of God so that what? It is a protection against what Satan comes to do to us. Let me tell you, you have an enemy that affects your thinking, affects your actions. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. How hard is that for us? How hard is it that the person that we engage in daily, when we see a wife turns on her husband Or maybe a husband turns on the wife. And consider that it's not against flesh and blood that we war against, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a war going on. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, but having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, now he just mentioned this is something that you need to be doing, right? And this is against the wiles of the devil. But then he gets up to 16 and he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all. Everybody say all.
All
the fiery darts of the wicked one. Man. He has given us the formula. He has given us the way to be able to be successful in our lives. Now we go, and we go to work, and we have people that come against us, and we say, well, I'm not going to take that, or I'm not going to do the thing that we see happening is we fight with our flesh. But he's saying we need to fight with our spirit.
Yes.
The Spirit of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We'll stay with 16. Why above all? Well, it tells us. With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you were in a real war, if you were in a real fight, when I say real, I mean with the fight that we have is real. But if we were here on earth battling another nation or another faction, we would want to know how can we defeat our enemy. And it tells us right here. It is through the shield of faith. Who needs more faith? We all do. We all need more faith. We all desire more faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Wow. We look to see what God has said, and we stand on that. The word of faith that we preach to you. Faith is given you by the preaching of the gospel. Somebody in your life has preached the gospel to you, has told you about what? Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus' ascension into heaven. Somebody told you that. And somebody took the time to tell you that. But the word of faith that we preach to you, faith is given you by by the preaching of the gospel. Romans 12, starting with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He goes, if I've saved you, the reasonable service is for you to put yourself on the altar and say, this is for you, Christ. This is for you, Jesus. This is for you, God. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. When you were born, consider. When you were born, there was a measure of faith given to you. You actually believed that that mama who was holding you is going to feed you, is going to care for you, is going to cuddle with you, is going to bring you security. We have been given a measure of faith. And as we grow up, we begin to understand that measure of faith is toward God. Because when we are born again, we believe He's going to feed us. He's going to care for us. He's going to protect us. And He's going to cuddle with us. We are to embrace the love that He has for us. We've been given that kind of measure of faith. Consider when you're first born and now when you're born again. Everyone that I've talked to who's been born again come to the realization that they need Jesus. They need Jesus.
Yes, we do.
I went to the doctor this past week, and there was this girl, she's a nurse, she's 20 years old, and as I was sitting there, I said, can I ask you a question? And she said, sure. I said, if you were to die tonight, heaven forbid, you're not going to die tonight, but if you did, do you think you'd go to heaven? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, the Bible says I write these things so that you may know you're saved, of where you're going, that you are actually secured in believing that God has saved you from this world. And so I said, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And she said, yeah. I used to go to church with my dad, and I stopped going. And I said, well, have you ever made a profession of faith? Have you ever said, I desire Jesus? If you believe in Him, do you desire Him? And she said, yes, I do believe in Jesus. I said, then your worries can be thrown out the window because God is able to secure you in your salvation.
Yes.
And I said, can you pray? Do you want to pray the sinner's prayer? And she goes, well, I do. I said, well, this is simple. Let's just hold hands. And I said, I want you to pray after me. Just, I'm going to say a prayer, and then you repeat the sentence that I say. And so we sat there, and she prayed and received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Right then, right there. It took that amount of time. But let me tell you, it took that amount of time to enter in. But it's going to be a long journey for her to live out the life that God wants her to live out. And it's going to be a good one. Now, I'm not saying that all her problems are going to go away. She's got to learn discipleship. But the reality is, she has the option to live like this. To live with the armor of God. And I pray, I don't know where she goes to church. I don't know what's going on. But I pray that she find a place. It's important. Church is important. The bride of Christ is important. And so when he came to die on the cross, he died for his church. And so now we are to what? Follow him and his spirit to be able to live out what he wants. I truly believe that God wants to orchestrate his church. He wants to be able to tell his bride, this is what you will do today. I think that he was pleased that we took communion today. We don't do that every Sunday, but today we did. I believe that he was pleased. Why? Because we do things by faith. We do it by the faith that he has given to us. We confess with our mouth. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? I'm still reading in Romans 10, and I started with verse 13. Now I'm at 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The preacher, the one who is willing to give. Let me tell you, don't be intimidated. Do not be intimidated by someone who goes, oh, you're a Christian and you're trying to get me to be baptized or to go to church. Well, let me tell you, you're exactly right. I do want you to be baptized. I do want you to come to church. I do want you to live a life that God has given you. From the gospel of peace. Man. Don't you want peace in your life?
Yeah.
Don't you think everybody you know wants peace in their life?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're like going, oh my gosh, one more thing went wrong. Well, that happens to everybody, even Christians. But what is our peace? Our peace is Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess with our mouth. First, Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And then what? Once we preach the word, then faith comes. I was about this far from that girl. Small room. I was getting treatment on my feet. She got to see my feet, which I was embarrassed about. But you know, we were about this close. And when I told her, do you want to be saved? And she goes, yes. And so all I did was take one hand and I pray. You pray after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you are the Messiah, and I believe that you can save me. And she said, and she prayed right there with me. Let me tell you, that's all it took. Why? Because by faith, it is by faith that she was taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That was all it took. And we do it by faith. We do it because that's the way it's done. A lot of people go, but I don't know enough. How much do you need to know? You don't need to know all that much. You need to know the sinner's prayer. You need to believe that someone needs help. And all you do is tell them. What are we believing for? They get a scripture that pertains to that request from God. I want you to think right now. I need God for. I need God for. And I want you to fill in the blank. I want you to fill that in and say, I need God, and I can't get it without Him doing His work in me. And so you come to a place where we have to have faith to believe what the Word says. So there was this young lady, and she was trying to get pregnant, and just wasn't happening. She was like, I really want a child. And so she goes to the pastor's wife, and she says, would you pray with me that I get pregnant? And she said, sure, I will. I'll pray with you. And she says, what scripture are you standing on for this to happen in your life? And she said, what? What are you talking about? What scripture, what word are you standing on for God to work? Because, let me tell you, God watches over His word to perform it. He doesn't watch over you because you are asking or requesting. He watches over His word so that He may perform it. He says, I am the truth teller. I am telling you the truth. I'm telling you what I'm willing to do, and I'm telling you what I don't want to do. And so we need to have a scripture believing that God is going to work in that area. Let me tell you, there are many people out there in the world who say they're Christians, but aren't really. And they go, well, I'm believing God. I'm believing God for this or that. And you're going, what scripture are you basing that on? Is it truth? Is it real? You have to know that. The Word and the Spirit agree. And they say, Arthur, this is the Word that you need. Now, I look it up. Or I ask Tom, Tom, where's that scripture? And so the reality is, that Word, God watches over His word to perform it. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. I'm talking about Abraham. Since she was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So she's about 100 years old and she wants to get pregnant. And so far, she's also standing on Scripture. Come on, God, you said. Verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham was fully convinced. God told me I was going to have a child. I was going to be the father of many nations. I was going to be the father as many as sand is on the seashore or stars in the sky. God told me that. And because he did, Abraham rested and stood on the word of God. That the promise he was also able to perform. Verse 22. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let me tell you, faith is the only way that you can please God. Faith. Why is that? Why is that true? Because what he's saying is, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then what are we doing here? Why are we doing this thing? He said, only through faith are we able to please God. Wow. That's the first thing that you do. The second thing that happens when you have faith, it extinguishes the darts of the evil one. the fiery darts of the evil one. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. It's 1 John 5:18, Amplified version. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil. And the wicked one does not lay a hold, get a grip on him, or touch him. Isn't that a great scripture? I love this scripture. Why? Because it is a practice of saying Jesus protects us from the evil one. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe what he's saying here. Let me tell you something that happened in this church a few years ago. And most of you know, maybe, I don't know. You may know Anna Marie Sheriff. She was here. Beautiful lady, sweet lady, great. She knew the word. And she had cancer. And we prayed. We prayed hard. We prayed a lot. We prayed that she would be healed. And one day, basically, she went to the hospital because she had stage 4 cancer. And she asked her husband, please let me go. Let me go. The fight is too much. And she died. She died. But the reality, she was healed. God may not answer your prayer as you think it should be answered. And some people got bitter. Some people left the church. Some people said, look, if Anna Marie can't get a healing, who can? Well, I'm telling you, we must be disciples of Christ and believe that he knows better than we do.
Right. Yeah.
He knows better. Why? Because he never stops loving us. He says, I will be with you just some of the time. That's not what the scripture says. He says, I will be with you always. Always. And so, if God doesn't do it the way I think it should be done, then who becomes Lord and God in that situation? Look, God, this is how I want it to look when I pray. I've done this so many times. I bet y'all haven't, but I have. Believed and said, God, do it this way. And he didn't. He did it another way. And that was an opportunity for my faith to grow and say, he knows better than me. He knows better than me.
You're not the only one.
I want to tell you this. Faith is only mentioned twice in the Old Testament. It's only mentioned twice. But in the New Testament, it is mentioned 227 times. Now, in the Old Testament, they had the law. And they relied on the law. And when Jesus came, he started saying stuff like, have faith. And they're going, what? Have faith. That what I'm telling you, I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. Well, no. When I prayed for the Messiah to come, I expected him to have royal robes and have a huge army, and that's who is coming to deliver us from the Romans. And he said, no, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And they had to have faith to believe that Jesus came the way he was to come and to do the things that he said he would do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
My favorite.
Okay. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're seeking the Lord, he's going to what? Reward you. And what's that reward going to look like? It's going to look like him. It's going to look like Jesus. And so when we come to know that we need God, and if we diligently seek him, what? He's going to show up. Luke 17:5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Verse 6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. When I came and I started to preach, I asked you, who needs more faith? And everybody was, yeah, I need more faith. Well, even at the end of this preaching, the preaching of the word, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head. And I want you to ask the Lord, God, give me more faith. Give me your word that is true and real. God, in the name of Jesus, I need more faith. And that faith is what? To please Jesus. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. So I want you, if you need help with prayer, just hold up your hand. Just hold up your hand and I'll come pray with you. Father, she comes as a child. She comes as a heart to be able to say, I need you and I desire you. And so, Father, my faith is that you would move on her life and that, Father, you would embrace her. And, Father, she would feel that embrace. And you would, Father, give her good things. And Father, she would say unto you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anyone else needs prayer? Going once, going twice, gone. Y'all have a good afternoon.
I just wanted to share real quick one of the things that came to me. I think sometimes, I know I do this to myself sometimes, when Arthur was talking about how we're praying for something and we really want it to come a certain way. And most of the time in my life, for sure, it has not come that way. God has always answered my prayers. It just hasn't looked how I thought it might have looked. And for a long time, I battled with that. And I thought, well, Sharon, what is wrong with you? You got to get in line with God. Well, we do need to get in line with God. Matthew 26:39. Jesus gave us another example how to do that. This is when he was in the garden and he was going to die. And he grappled like we do. He knew what lied ahead. And Jesus himself said, I'm reading out of the Amplified, and after going a little further, he fell down and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, if it's possible, that is consistent with your will, if it's consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me. I can't tell you how many times I've looked at Arthur and said, does it really have to be this hard? And he'll say, yes, sometimes it does. And I have learned in my growing in faith that most of the time, we've got to go through. We don't get to go around. We don't get to go over or below. We just have to go through. So how do we do that? By faith. Go through. We do it just as Jesus did. Not my will, but yours be done. That's faith. That takes faith. And in my line of work, that doesn't take a 3-year-old faith. That takes a high school faith. When you get to certain stages in life, you need more than that 3rd grade faith or that 3-year-old faith. You need a faith that's been strengthened, that's growing, that's rooted in, where you can say, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, but if he doesn't, I will still worship the Lord. I will still worship the Lord, even if he doesn't. Because I know the word that I pray. I know that all things will work out for my good. Whether it's how I thought it was going to look, or not, it will still work out for my good, because that's what he said would happen. Not because I did it all right, but because he said it would happen that way. So it's okay that you ask if there's any other way. It's okay that we ask that, but we can't stay there. Catherine and I talk about this all the time. We know that there are typical behaviors that three-year-olds have. But our job is to not let it stay that way. I know that this is probably how you'll react, but my job is to help you grow so you don't keep doing that when you're in the third grade. We can't stay there in our faith. Our faith has to grow. We'll never get past being 3 years old. We'll grow and we'll be doing things that take more faith. Because the world keeps going. We can't stay in infant stages in our faith. I want you to go home with, it's okay if I ask, is there any other way? But you have to grow and follow up with, but not my will. Yours be done.
Yes.
Not my will. So I'm excited for us because our faith was strengthened today. We heard the word of God preached. We'll let it get in us and we'll let him perform it in us. So go out of here believing that. I have a stronger faith than when I came in here. This week will be better because my faith is stronger. But even if it isn't, not my will, but yours be done. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for your word preached today, Father. I thank you that we get to come in here and we get to hear your word. We have that freedom right now, Father God, that we can hear your word preached. We're not afraid of the consequence of that, and I'm grateful for it, Lord. Father, I pray now for all of us that your word gets engrafted into our heart, that it gets engrafted into our mind. I pray that we dwell on this word throughout this week, Father God. It would strengthen us. Let our faith, Father, be increased. Let it be stronger than it was before. And let that faith prompt us to do what you're asking us to do this week, Father. We love you. We love you with all of our heart, Father. We thank you for that word. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the word that came in flesh and dwelt among us. Father, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have a good week.